This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, it's your home for XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown as we go live for our patrons on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with XL editions containing the news of the day, questions, and feedback. And throughout the month of January, you get a free month when you sign up for a full year. postwrestlingcafe.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
See you later.
All right. Happy New Year. It's 2025. We're 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. Whenever you hear this, it could be 50 days. Welcome from the future. I am Rich Fan, host here, MCU Later, Post Wrestling. Thank you all because my co-host, much to his chagrin, we're in the freeloader zone, WH. We are bringing this episode 100% free to the people.
You know what? I think it's freeloader month this year, this in January for post wrestling. I think okay. Or so, something like the patrons get like one free month for their membership or something like that. Something I saw something like that on the site. I think it's across the board. I think it's like freeloader month, obviously inspired by, you know, yours truly, freeloader month, like John Way. Would be like, you know what? Let's make the freeloaders feel welcome. So freeloaders, welcome to MCU Later. If you want, I'm gonna give it to you today in terms of like the quality content. As always, it's not behind the paywall, so you're gonna get the quality content. But let me tell you something: if you want the consistent quality, not every show is free. Not every show is just there for you to like turn on the YouTube, type in Rich Fan, WH Park, and get, oh my God, all this amazing quality for all the ads you people pay. Because I know you're not like me. You're not on YouTube Premium because you're a bunch of cheapskates, probably. But I won't think that way of you if you go to patreon.com/postwrestling and sign up for the Post Wrestling Cafe, because it's the place to be. Not only do you get MCU Later, and my God, Rich, how busy are we going to be in 2025?
Yeah, I mean, we can start there in terms of like the action. I mean, you're looking at 2025 is going to be a lot, folks. So we're starting with the Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. That's an animated series that's going to feature freshman year for Peter Parker. Currently for us, they don't have a date and they don't have an episode list yet. And so that's really going to get broken up similar to what we do with the other animated series where we do a part one, part two, et cetera. So that's one thing. However, when we get to Daredevil alone is going to take most of 2 months between watching Born Again and then also giving you guys a primer, because surprise, most of January is going to be the devil you don't know.
Jeez.
Yeah. It's just like what you want to know, where you want to know it. Let's go.
And you think you're seeing enough red with the border of the show here? No, you're gonna get big red, Daredevil, in your face on MCU Later. We need to maybe make a Daredevil inspired MCU Later T-shirt. You hear me, Dickie Bird?
You hear him? You getting out there at shop-t/?
That's right.
Post wrestling.
But on top of MCU Later, which we're going to get, oh my God, so much content in 2025, like movies, all the TV shows, all the animated features, it's all coming. you get Talk with John and Wei. My God, that's a great show. You get all the New Japan reviews with Karen Peterson and Big Bruce Lord.
Big Bruce,
that's right. My boy, I always forget the Scotchman. I think he's a Scotchman. Bourbonman? I don't know.
Yeah.
He's always probably like WH. It's blah blah blah. Anyways, you can hear him talk about his alcoholic preferences over on the New Japan reviews he does with the Empress up here in these streets. Also on Post Perez, that's free. But you know, she's on that show with me every month. But you get a ton of stuff. You get, you know, Ask Away, and you get like, you know, where they just answer all these like dumb questions from people like Brandon from New Jersey, aka the Rat, aka the Snitch. We're not going into details, but you, sir, are a dirty fucking rat. You're a dirty fucking snitch. And as they say on these streets, to steal a line from Nate Milton, snitches get stitches. And I am making it my resolution for 2025 that anytime I can give you a stitch, you lousy snitch, you're going to get one.
Man.
What can I say? Hey, if you don't want to get stitches, don't be a snitch. Am I right there, Rich Fan?
I think you're right. And now that I did the edit, for those of you watching on YouTube, I literally just finished up another podcast where as I was sitting here in my chair, because I can't drive. I'm so used to saying driving, but it's gone now. My leg is just looking at me laughing. They had me as the disembodied voice, and I found it now. So, Brandon, I don't know what you did, man, but...
You know, I just told you what he did.
I'm kayfabe, bro. Kayfabe. I was just trying. Listen, Brandon, I know what you did, and he's coming for you. It's like Freddy Krueger. He's counting. He's getting ready. Listen, Hatoot Zaraze, he's coming.
You and I have both been in like together, Rich, yeah. Along with Scrump. We
Team Make-A-Wish for life.
You know, Team Make-A-Wish. We have roamed the streets of New Jersey, correct? And on our own, we have roamed the streets of New Jersey. Brandon from BFNJ, I know which comic store you shop at in Jersey, bro. So don't be surprised. You see Rich Fan driving along, and then maybe I'm in the back seat, and you're going to hear the familiar sounds of brap, brap. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, boy. All right. So for those of you just started, MCU Later traditionally is a Marvel Comics, Marvel Cinematic Universe-related show here at Post. It started originally with John Pollock asking a very simple question. And classic. What was that, WH?
Is Steve Rogers in this movie? I think it was a movie starring the Captain America and the Avengers.
Yes.
Hey, where's the Steve Rogers guy? Not knowing that Steve Rogers is Captain America. And that just started an avalanche of John Wei doing covering every Marvel Cinematic Universe movie from Iron Man, I believe. I think that's the earliest movie they did, and all the way up to Endgame. And so... And then with the announcement of Disney Plus, Wei was like, oh my God, we should do a show on the Patreon. Everyone loves all the post-wrestling cafe members love listening to the Marvel review. So they thought, well, John's too busy. John doesn't read comic books. Who do we know that likes to talk a lot on air and knows a lot about comic books? Well, me. So like they called me up and they said, would you like to be on the show? It's called MCU Later. And I'm like, wait, you have outdone yourself, because that is a brilliant name for a show about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And here we are.
Yep.
And then Rich came along because Wave got busy. And Rich was our perennially favorite guest to have on the show because his knowledge is so amazing and in-depth. Dare I say it rivals my own.
It tries. I get a lot of on your left still, which you'll find out about in a moment.
That's right. You've been a dad for a while. You got a grown son, pretty much. Wei just had a kid. He's still taking care of the young man. So it's me and Reg. Can I just say a resolution I would like to announce on 2025? We try to get Wei on the show a bit more often this year. What do you think?
I think it's fun. But like when we talk about some of the 2024 shows, he's a bounty hunter. You got to get him on for the right price, much like Lobo in DC Comics, or if you think about your favorite Merc with a Mouth, Mr. Deadpool in the MCU, we got to get a thing that pulls him in. So last time we got him in, what was the movie that finally got him? It was a little story about a lady in the Amazon trying to figure out how her mother got spider powers.
Yeah, we'll talk about the atrocity that was MCU Hater.
Yes.
Not that the shows were bad. The shows were awesome. Just the movies we had to watch.
Yeah, so like I said, you gave us a resolution, and I think that's a fair one. Let's look back, though. Let's start with the 2024 shows. We covered a good bit, and so one of the things I wanted to kind of do was, if I could borrow the old Conan O'Brien, look all the way back to the year 2000. In the year 2000! What did you think of the What Ifs seasons 2 and 3? Because we kind of had a sandwich there.
Yeah, they bookended our year of reviews, pretty much. You know what? I against popular opinion, I guess, is like I liked both of them. Mm-hmm. Some episodes were better than others. You know, some episodes were like, okay, it was fine. I don't know if I'll ever watch that episode again. But there are some episodes like those are rewatchable. Those are things that I would like to explore again because of the. Some of the character elements or the stories they told. Like I love the Nebula Nova Corps,
yes,
Blade Runner episode. I can watch that endlessly. I thought it was amazing. A lot of the Captain Carter stuff. You heard me, Scrump. Captain Carter stuff, I think, is eminently rewatchable. The what is her origin story, the stuff where she's in where it becomes like Neil Gaiman's, I think, was it 1870? No, not 18, some 1682, right? That stuff. It was great. I the Kahori stuff. I Hela, the Ten Rings. I'm looking at the list that Rich is putting up here on the YouTube. I just thought it was a lot of fun, and you know, we got introduced some new characters that you don't see in the comics or anywhere else, and you know, like. And it kind of whets your appetite in the sense, like, are we going to see them show up in live action at some point?
Yeah. And I you know, we just covered about a week ago, essentially, season 3. And, you know, we talked about how much you enjoyed. I think it was your favorite episode. And I think it was my second favorite episode, the mech episode of What If season 3. And for me in season 2, it was a tie between Nebula and Kahori, because I thought Kahori was a great original character to introduce, and they kind of finished the mission with her in season 3 by adding her to that interdimensional Avengers or whatever they are, Watchers, whatever they're going to be.
Yeah, Kahori is someone you feel like there's definitely a What If like character. Like we try to use Kahori in some of the bigger story arcs, especially involving the cosmic stuff, because she's a pretty power, you know, her power set, her move set. I hate that phrase in wrestling, by the way, the move set.
You and CM Punk agree.
That's right. Me and Phil have a lot in common. I don't know if you know that about us, but there you go. You know, CM Punk, WH Park, we have the same amount of letters in our names. Did you know that?
I didn't until you just did that. That's wild.
Crazy, huh? But yeah, her she's like Phoenix, you know. It's like, what if Kahori met Phoenix could be an episode for, you know, season 4 or 5 in a future What If episodes. And I do think What If will come back.
And what for you, what is, because in the comic books the conceit was always, and we even had Scrump mention that in his last comments on the paid side of things, the biggest conceit was the extreme nature of the What Ifs. What if Uncle Ben had lived? What if Spider-Man had kept the powers of the cosmic entity? You know, like things where it's like, oh, wow, this is a thought exercise. I think some of the episodes, sure, they went there. Some of them maybe were a little stranger than others. No pun intended, especially considering What If seasons 1 through 3 did considerably feature a lot of Strange-related content, Doctor Strange-related content. What would you say is like the biggest takeaway compared to the comics? Where they diverged?
Well, most of the comics are or take the question, what if this happened? If what if they turned left instead of right in terms of a plot point in a major comic book storyline? For example, what if Phoenix lives? What if, you know, instead of sacrificing herself, she thought, fuck the Imperial Guard, fuck the Shi'ar, I'm going to fuck this place up. And what would happen? Well, if you read the comic, what you imagine is that it probably wouldn't turn out well and didn't turn out well. Whereas with the animated show, what if just like we'll put out a wacky idea? I think they did probably do a lot of, you know, elevator pitches, as they say, and said, yeah, what if Shang-Chi and Hawkeye, Kate Bishop, were Western gunfighters? There's no element of a plot point in the movies or the comics for, okay, where do you get that idea? But they said, that sounds fun, let's do it. And they did it. Okay. A lot of the ones that I do tend to like have that kind of idea, like the Mech Avengers. That doesn't have a point where, I guess with Banner unleashing the, you know, his dark side and creating the Apex Hulk Kaiju, that's the point. But that doesn't really, you know what I mean, have a point where it correlates too neatly with an existing plot point in the movies. But they just went with it. They just thought, let's make a Hulk Kaiju. And then what can the Avengers do? Well, they'll just create giant mech robots like in Japanese anime. And I'm all here for it. Listen, give me Captain Carter with a fucking mech suit. And I will be a happy boy in 2025 if they do that. Or 2026 if they do that in What If in the future season.
And as we went through, obviously, What If was our bookends, as you mentioned. We also saw a series that I would say fairly received criticism, but unfairly was not given its due in terms of where it fit within the greater MCU. And the reason I say that is it was one of the first TV shows that fit within the situation regarding the writer's strike, and that was Echo. Mm-hmm. And so with, you know, a year, I guess, almost to kind of think about it, what were your takeaways from Echo? Because I know for me, I liked it. I liked the actors. I liked Return of the Kingpin. I really enjoyed some of the interpersonal dialogue, and especially featuring an actor that maintained her physical and acting chops while still being hearing impaired and using sign. I thought that was masterwork. Everything else, you know, clearly there were mistakes made on the set. But what were your thoughts overall on Echo, and, you know, any changes from our review of that earlier in the year?
I think there are elements of Echo that I could watch again, and there are elements of Echo that, you know, like if I rewatch an episode, okay, I remember this. It's not important for me to rewatch it. I can just fast forward through it or skip through it on the streaming. But I overall, like, I thought it was a good way to reintroduce Daredevil, because we did get the amazing cameo from Daredevil in that fight scene that they shot for the show, and then the return of Wilson Fisk. And I think for me, one of the big draws of this show, you know, was seeing, you know, Vincent D'Onofrio come back as Wilson Fisk in a different context. It was interesting to see he's not there to be the foil for Matt Murdock Daredevil. He's actually not there to be the foil for Clint Barton or Kate Bishop as he was in the Hawkeye show. He's there to kind of complement the journey of Echo, of Alakwa Cox and her performance in this show. And I think she acquitted herself very well. I didn't have any problems with her performance. I thought she did an amazing job, like, consider with the physical expectations of the role for her and the acting challenge, not honestly challenges, but the performance she gave as an actress to carry a show, because she is carrying the show on here. So I thought that was there was like a lot of things I admire about it. Was it a perfect show? No, there was like, it was very uneven, sure. But I can, the things I liked, I really liked about it. So
excellent. And one series I know we both liked, but again was marred with issues in the background, and I decided to pick the most indicative of their showrunner in terms of the photo for it, X-Men 97. For those of you watching on YouTube, you can see it. And if you know Bo DeMeo and his penchant for not wearing a shirt in social media or in sending texts to his coworkers, you could see the basketball picture I picked of the X-Men, including a very pregnant Madeline Pryor with a referee outfit that is like three sizes too small. It's a lot, man. So talk a little bit about X-Men 97, the brouhaha with Bo, and we could kind of pierce through what we liked and disliked about the Merry Mutants returning to the MCU, or entering the MCU, rather.
So as someone who didn't watch the original cartoon, I kind of went in this as a newbie, as kind of with fresh eyes. And I came out of it thinking, well, I have no desire actually to ever watch the original show, because I watched samples of it on YouTube, and I'm like, I can't stand this animation. This does not age well. But I applied what was done with the characters in terms of like, okay, being true from all accounts of people who were fans of it, including yourself and Scrump and other people that we had on the show, that okay, they were faithful to that idea, but they updated it. And you know, Marvel Animation did, I think, a bang up job of trying to make, okay, let's bring in those fans. So we want to draw in people like myself, and I think they did. And it's fun to see, like, okay, this is the Jim Lee X-Men with their costuming, especially like Cyclops. They're primarily all wearing Jim Lee designed costumes from the 1990s. So it's kind of a big nostalgia trip for me. And then some of the bold things they did, I mean, the Genosha stuff is just like, whoa, that's dark, man. That is crazy dark. And the stuff like, and I love the stuff involving Gambit and his sacrifice, because that's so like fucking anime. That's so like, like Gundam heroes sacrificing themselves to like defeat their enemy so that other people can live. You know, there's shades of like Akira in there, and I'm sure like tons of references to other anime that I either don't remember or have never watched, but like other fans would be like, no, they reference this and this as well. Awesome. I just talk about my point of references here. And then you had your boy Hank McCoy in the flesh, in his blue furry flesh, being Hank McCoy. And I will not have the slander of blue fur animation style Hank McCoy, by the way.
What do you mean? Just in general, Hank McCoy is a menace. That dude's always been in trouble.
See, the real menace is Brandon from New Jersey, but you know what?
Wow. Like,
we'll just keep it with like, listen, Hank was okay in this show, wasn't he?
Oh yeah, it was fine until wasn't. I mean, hiding that schism, like just straight up just hating himself until he realized that some of his girlfriend's bosses also hated him a little bit. And you know, this is a nice little backdoor reintroduction to the X-Men for those who had been MCU fans, but not necessarily because of the fact that the X-Men were owned by Fox and Disney did the right thing and made it come over to the good place. And you allowed the backdoor introduction of the X-Men to remind people of one of the most important X-Men, Wolverine.
That's right.
And it's Wolverine season, y'all. We obviously went and watched together with Scrump in Canada, Deadpool and Wolverine. And we got treated to this debut of this, if you're watching on YouTube, this spectacular creature right here. What do you think for folks that, especially on the freeloader side, who might just be experiencing this, what would be a thing that you took from Deadpool and Wolverine months after the fact that still carries with you?
That you can do things that maybe you thought they're not going to do that, but they did it, right? Like, let's talk about Chris Evans as Johnny Storm.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the return of Jennifer Garner as Elektra. Let's talk about the introduction of Remy LeBeau, Gambit, played by, oh God,
Brain C. Tate, Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum. And of course, I think the biggest pop, I think the second biggest pop is Johnny Storm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chris Evans is Johnny Storm. The biggest pop was, you know, the return of Wesley Snipes as Blade, because, you know, we all heard the rumors, the tidbits that Wesley hated Ryan Reynolds on the set of Blade Trinity when he was a star and Ryan Reynolds is just an up and coming actor in like maybe fourth on the call sheet for this film, maybe.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, and they reference it. Right. And so I like, it's kind of like when you don't know what's real in wrestling, what's not real, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. Did they really hate each other back then? I think they did.
Oh yeah.
They did. I think that's bullshit where Wesley says, we were just fooling everybody. We kept this going for 20 years. No, you probably hated
his guts. Shit.
You're problematic on the set of Blade Trinity. Everyone, there's no accounting. There are no accounts of him not being problematic on that set and everyone just hating working with him. But hey, he came back and it was great to see him back in the role. But again, to the point is that a lot of things we thought, okay, they're not going to do that. They're going to do that. And they gave him, and they put Logan in the yellow costume. They did it. I don't think that the mask translates well cinematically. It's more of a comic thing. But, like, listen, my Wolverine on screen does not wear the mask. He's just the handsome, ageless, you know, Hugh Jackman that we see there. And it works. The haircut is the mask. What can I say?
Yeah, and my takeaway would be, the jokes about till you're 90 are legit, because Kevin Feige saw that this was the number one R-rated movie in the history of film, and Hugh Jackman is beloved. In fact, this morning, my wife and I were talking about this because our son had a sleepover with one of his friends, and his friend got a 3D printer for Christmas, and he printed out a Deadpool head on the 3D printer. And Melissa was like, I don't even know. Like, didn't you guys go see it? I was like, no, I never would have taken Trey to see Deadpool. It's rated R. Like, there's a lot going on in this movie outside of just the violence. Because if it was just violence, I'd be fine. Like, between the pegging jokes and the snowman jokes and all that stuff. And she's like, wait, what? I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah. She was like, so how did he know? I was like, because they're kids and they have the internet. And Deadpool's cool because look at the mask and look at him. I even told her about the inside joke with, you know, the fight inside of the minivan, where they start with the beginning of The Greatest Showman, which was a musical Hugh Jackman was the star in, and then it cuts to Grease Lightning. Like, that's just a little subtle thing. If you know, you know, and that's basically Deadpool and Ryan Reynolds, who basically are the same person's MO. And so that's my takeaway. I think the reach of Deadpool, the reach of Wolverine. I mean, these are Deadpool, by way of Ryan Reynolds, has pulled himself into like a Spider-Man-esque stratosphere of knowledge. He wasn't like that when we were growing up. Deadpool was kind of like one of those ancillary characters. And now, because of Ryan Reynolds and the sheer force of personality, he's forced himself into that role, not only in the greater MCU, but like literally any Marvel property video game wise, he pops up. And so that's phenomenal. And I think that's the thing I'm going to take away from it. The fact that creators, when they get an opportunity to use something that's kind of really inspiring to them and kind of lean into it, you can see that. And one of the things you can also see, WH, is when you have creators who don't necessarily know what they're doing and they still want to do something. And so as we got ready for Deadpool and Wolverine, we went over the X-Men series, and you all welcome to go back and look at that. But what I would say is, and we alluded to this earlier, if you're going to watch anything, as much as we talk about what we enjoy, jump into the world of MCU hater and find out the things that grind my gears, grind our gears. As you can see on the screen, you have what is supposed to be Apocalypse in X-Men Apocalypse. And I'm going to just let you take it away.
We watched some of these were the first time I've ever seen these movies, but they're the pretty much the universally panned X-Men movies put out by Fox Studios, by a studio that was just like, oh, we need to make some movies so we can keep the license, kind of a deal, which is what we see with Sony, right?
Yep. Which we also watched during MCU Hater.
Yes, we watched one of those movies put up by Sony to keep the license. And it was, I you know, as far as for, you know, the watching it was tough. Talking about it was fun. It was nice, you know, palate cleanser doing the shows with you and our guests with the MCU hater stuff. And I'm not opposed to, like, you know, reviving MCU hater if we have time in 2025, maybe with like things from the Sony universe, because we pretty much exhausted the Fox stuff. But we could probably maybe even go back to, like, you know, things like Punisher, or, you know, it'd be funny to do like the What's Blade that? Trilogy, because I will say, I think universally the first Blade movie is loved. I have very mixed feelings about Blade 2, and okay. We'd have to watch it and do a show about it for people to understand. What are your mixed feelings, David? Well, you'll have to wait for us to actually do a show about it. But and then I have mixed feelings. I know a lot of people don't like Blade Trinity. I have mixed feelings about it. And so, like, you know, we could explore those, like, in future episodes of a retro review of the Blade trilogy, which I think we should do at some point in the show's, you know, lifespan. Yeah. But one thing I thought was interesting to see, like, for the most part, I do think Marvel gets it right, like Marvel Studios. And then it's interesting to go back to see who does it wrong. And that would have been Fox and currently Sony. To a point you made, I think also the success of Ryan Reynolds and his reach could play a factor in what I predict will happen, and that is the return of Spider-Man to the full control of Marvel Disney. And whether that's because they go out and buy the Sony film division from Sony as a corporation, just listen, you're not making any fucking money from this, because you completely don't understand the idea of Spider-Man, and you're only making these terrible movies based on his villains because you have no other fucking ideas. Just give back to us. How many billions do you want? And here it is. That's what they should do. Marvel, Disney, just like, how many zeros do you want at the end of this check, Sony? In fact, we'll buy your entire film division and stick that shit on Disney Plus, so we have more content. Win-win. Like, look at the Marvels they've done with the Fox properties that they bought from Fox. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's a win-win. You know, all of it's on Disney. Like, I don't have to get another streaming service. I just watch all this Fox shit on Disney. Bonus. You know? So do the same thing with Sony Pictures Classics, Sony Pictures, the Spider-Man. Bring it over. I do think there's, like, Kevin Feige and Disney Marvel were like, shit, look how well we did with getting just this one character back in our full control. What else can we do? You know who else we should get back? Spider-Man, their flagship character. And I'm telling you, when it happens, not if, when it happens, Rich, I'll be on your left forever.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, it's your home for XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown, as myself and Wei Ting will be providing full shows containing news of the day, questions, and so much more, going live on those nights for patrons. Plus, we will have coverage of Wrestle Kingdom 19, Wrestle Dynasty, The People vs. GCW, TNA Genesis, a Rewind Away retrospective on the Ric Flair Ricky Steamboat feud of 1989, all of your regular shows, a Daredevil primer, and throughout the month of January, you get a free month if you sign up for an annual subscription. $6 a month at postwrestlingcafe.com.
There it is. And speaking of on your left, one of the first things we're going to be covering as we move into 2025 will be, and one of the things we're always proud of when it comes to talking about MCU later, we kind of talk about all the issues. So it's not just, hey, comics good, comics bad, guy good, gal bad, etc. But Captain America: Brave New World, there's a companion book by Kwame Mbalia and Nicholas Smith, which talks about a hero that looks just like you. And that's one of the things we saw in 2022 when we watched Sam Wilson and the Winter Soldier, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which ended renaming itself as Captain America and the Winter Soldier, which was awesome. Sam Wilson has entered into a world of Marvel cinematics at a time and place here in 2025 where it's going to be very interesting to see him as Captain America and what he brings to the table alongside, as a fictional character, the world around him. What are your thoughts of Brave New World outside of Rolk, which I understand that isn't your cup of tea? But what are your thoughts on Brave New World, and are you looking forward to this and where they can go next?
I am, because like I think Sam as Captain America from the comics, I've always been a supporter of it, because I thought when they launched, all new Captain America, which was like written by one of my favorite writers, Rick Remender, when he was still at Marvel, and drawn by Canadian legend Stuart Immonen, they did this 6-part storyline that was basically Sam Wilson, Falcon as Captain America, and they knocked it out of the park. Like after the first issue of that series, I was like, shit, Sam is fucking Captain America. He wields that shield. He deserves it. And there's the history. He's been Steve's partner since the 60s. You know what I mean? Like more than he has a longer like publication history of being Sam's part of being Steve's partner and his friend and his best friend than even Bucky does. And Bucky goes all the way back to the Golden Age with him because of, you know, the fact that Bucky's dead. Bucky will always be dead. And before Bucky's reintroduced as the Winter Soldier, of course. So let's move into on screen. I think the way they handled it, the transition. Okay, Chris Evans is no longer going to be Captain America. The shield is passed off to Sam. On screen, in kayfabe, he is Steve endorses him. He gives him the shield. He doesn't give it to Bucky. He gives it to him. And then in the TV show, which I'm a big fan of Falcon the Winter Soldier / Captain America and the Winter Soldier. I love the journey of both Bucky and for Sam. And at the end of that, you're thinking, okay, he is going to be Captain America. And I look forward to this movie because I think it's going to solidify, you know, Anthony Mackie as the kind of lead hero in the MCU. Because like, if you think about it, who's going to be the lead hero in the next phase of Marvel? It's going to be Anthony Mackie as Sam Wilson as Captain America. So I'm excited to see how well this movie does. I'm very open-minded because, like, yes, I'm not a big fan of the Rolk character just because I hate that name. I just like to call him Red Hulk, and that's fine with me. Or just simply Hulk, okay? Anyways, I want to see, like, how they go to a different level because I do think we're entering, you know, the next level of Marvel movies. Like, we're not going to rely on RDJ just yet, Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth, or we're bringing these other characters, these other actors in. And this is our launch, basically, Captain America: Brave New World. So I'm looking forward to watching it. I'm looking forward to reviewing it with you.
Yeah. And what I'm looking forward to is, and it ties into what we're just talking about, a lot of the characters that were introduced specifically in the last 2-3 years together as the Thunderbolts. I love the tagline, "Be careful who you assemble," because we see here, if you're watching on YouTube, you have Ghost, you have hashtag
not my taskmaster.
You have the most nonplussed Yelena possible in the middle. You have the Red Guardian. You have U.S. Agent, and of course, look at the hair on Bucky. that's like televangelist hair right there. Like, he should be selling like some dreams right there with that hair. I think this crew is not only going to be a fun respite from the seriousness of what's going on in Captain America Brave New World, but a nice way to introduce you to some of the people who are going to be adjacent to Sam in this Brave New World. What are your thoughts on Thunderbolts coming out in May?
I am so intrigued by Thunderbolts. This, the asterisk really does it in terms of like, okay, why is that there? There's a reason. Why is it there? It's a placeholder title. What's the placeholder going to be? But also, we're going to see the MCU debut of the Sentry. And, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the Sentry as a character in the comics, but it is an intriguing character. I want to see how they do it in live action. Can I just go on record saying I'm not a fan of long hair Bucky? I like short hair Bucky.
I accept it.
No, I refuse to accept it. I refuse to accept Trevor hurting people with scissors on television. It just turns that show, the second biggest national promotion, into an outlaw mud show. Yeah, I said it. Anyways, back to the MCU. I refuse to accept this haircut. In my headcanon, he still has the beautiful short coif he has in the MCU TV show with Sam.
And you see here on screen, WH mentioned he was not a big fan of Bob. So I wanted to give you all an opportunity to see what Bob Reynolds looks like in the trailer, AKA Sentry.
And the only thing that would save, like, you know, wouldn't it be great if like we got a recreation of New Avengers where the Sentry just takes Carnage out into space and rips him apart. I love that. It's my favorite Sentry moment of all time because I hate Carnage.
Well, do you hate the fact that AEW is going to have Maximum Carnage coming up in a few weeks?
I mean, you say that like I'm going to actually watch the full show.
Hey, you're like the biggest AEW fan I know. I mean,
am I?
That's what the streets tell me.
The streets sometimes lie to you, Rich. What can I say?
All right. Well, fair enough. Now,
sometimes the streets want to fool you into thinking that, you know, Clay Davis is Buck Moreland, and you buy it and you fall for it. What can I say?
Listen, one thing the streets definitely have me ready for is First Steps.
Oh yeah.
And so for you, you see here on screen a nice little animated version that's mixed of the folks. Then you have the trailer where everyone did not skip arm day on this Fantastic Four squad because Sue Storm's got some guns. She probably can outlift like her and Reed are doing supersets. My man, Mr. Pascal, looks like his neck is bigger than it is in Gladiator. This is absurd. WH... Why is, well, I'm hoping it's because he's Mr. Fantastic and is like he's stretching, but that neck is absurd right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's not my image of Reed Richards, to be honest with you, is like Reed Richards being muscular,
a very swarthy, muscular man who can sweep you off your feet.
Yeah, I mean, I love Pedro Pascal. It goes without saying. He's an actor whose work I love seeing, whether it's Star Wars related or whether he's being killed by Denzel Washington in The Equalizer 2.
Spoiler, sir.
You know? Oh, please. It's been out for a long time. You might as well... I could tell you the ending of Marathon Man. It's not a spoiler anymore. You know what I mean? But, yeah, no. Like, you know, I don't think I've yet to see the teaser trailer. I have to.
It's quite
like,
fun.
I feel like fun. Everything I click on is like some AI generated bullshit, and I'm just like, no, you. I don't want this in my algorithm on YouTube. Fuck you. Ah, gets me angry. But listen, we talk about Pedro. You know who else is in this that I'm so excited about? Vanessa Kirby. I love Vanessa Kirby.
Yeah, she didn't skip arm day either.
No. You don't need them to be having arm day. I'm sorry. They don't need to look like this, you know. Who's the actor in the last FF movie that was pretty bad?
Which one? Because
where Michael B. Jordan is Johnny Storm.
Reed was played. I literally just said his name. Oh my god! Because I think he should play the Maker whenever they get to the multiverse to give him a chance to redeem what he wanted to do in the role. Teller.
Miles Teller. That guy was a great read. You know, like if I was going to cast Reed Richards, it would have been, if I wanted to use a pre-existing actor in the role, he would probably be the one I would bring back. But it's okay. Like I'm intrigued to see this. I like the setting. It's in the 1960s. It's going to have this like very odd vibe to it. That's very much like I think they're going for like the Stanley Jack Kirby feel of the original run of the Fantastic Four in the 60s. So, and then like, yeah. And then, you know, we're going to see Galactus. How are they going to do Galactus? We're going to see gender neutral Silver Surfer. There you go. Let's go with it. Like I love the Silver Surfer, how they depict the Silver Surfer in the other movies, you know, where Chris Evans is Johnny Storm. So we'll see. And then I think we're going to get our first tease of, or cameo, post-credit cameo of RDJ as Victor Von Doom.
And of I'm with you. I think this will be fun. We talked about Uatu when we did our last part of our What If review and how he may fit into all of this. And one thing I want to definitely fit in as we talk about characters and perfect fits is the idea of this character, which is going to be one of the folks alongside Marvel Zombies that we close 2025 with, and that's Wonder Man.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts on Simon Williams, the casting, and of course some of the folks we saw in the trailer as kind of sidekicks along Mr. Abdul-Mateen's journey as Wonder Man.
Yeah, so you know, Abdul-Mateen second for me. And we'll talk about him because we're gonna talk about something else he was in earlier in the past that I maybe helped prep him for this role. Like I think it's great casting, and I'm gonna see, like, this is obviously not comic book Simon Williams / Wonder Man. This is gonna be MCU. Like, how are we gonna make this work? Okay, let's see how we're gonna make it work. Are they gonna fit him into the continuity of The Vision and the Scarlet Witch? Are they going to relate those characters together like they are in the comic books? I don't know. My gut says no, but you know, if they did do that, how would they do that? That would be very cool to see. That would be very interesting how they would do it. Would it work? Again, I'm intrigued. I see that looks like totally fake, this picture you just put up here. It looks like they imposed this.
Yeah. Yeah, this is from the actual Marvel television trailer. The screener.
This looks so fake. This image of him looks like they put his body on like a buff 17-year-old kid's body.
Yeah, it's like, hey, let me just throw what we got here. And that's where you talk about, like, it just gets really
funny. Can we really trust screen culture? I don't know.
We can.
Can we? All right. No, I'll take your word for it.
I'm agreeing with you.
This looks fake as shit. This image of.
Yeah, this is like, this is where it's like, again, Google is just the dirt worst right now. And it's like, now my phone's listening to me. It's like, yeah, hey, buddy, I just want to like get something that actually works for the people. So folks, ignore that and instead focus on what should be an Emmy-nominated cast here, Agatha All Along. I saved the best for last for 24 because I wanted to talk a little bit about them before we finish up with 25. Thoughts on this series? Thoughts on these characters? Thoughts on anything you want to just run with it?
Well, unlike Perpetually Wrong Scrump, who did not like this, I loved it. I thought, because I looked at it as a television show. Okay, I didn't just look at it as how does it fit into the overall Marvel Cinematic Universe and WandaVision. Is it going to be as good as that? Listen, fuck those connections. I just loved it for what it was, which was like a character exploration of like six different main characters related to Agatha and her journey through it, with Joe Locke as, you know, Billy Kaplan, Wiccan, and everyone who came along for the ride, and the way each episode unfolded. We had different themes and different costumes and different scenarios that our characters reacted to. It was great. Like, I look at it as its own entity. Like, it could, you could separate this completely from any connection to the Marvel Universe and just make its own entity, and it would still work, because I think the writing and the directing and the performances were that strong. For to me, it's a bonus that it's part of the MCU. You know what I mean? Yeah. And because, like, I don't think of, like, also I don't complain about, oh man, this episode is 46 minutes long. I can't have my attention span can't handle that, because I'm used to like 14 minutes. I'm used to like 10 minute wrestling, you know, 10 minute TV matches on fucking wrestling television. You know what? Just fuck. Listen, my attention span, not that great anymore, but fuck, I don't complain about 46 minutes of quality. If you give me 46 minutes of shit, then I will complain, but you're not. I don't think there are that any episodes of this I did not like. And yes, fucking give Catherine Hahn all the fucking Emmys in the world.
All of them. Like, not some of them. All of them.
Like I said, like my man Dave Bautista says, give me what I want.
Dear God. And one of the things we definitely want to talk about, and this is going to be front and center for us, and like I said earlier, in 2025, Daredevil Born Again.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have a primer where we go over seasons. We go over some of the key things that tie into the comics. We're going to have some great guests, as we will with all of these series and movies. But WH, talk a little bit about our plans for Daredevil.
Oh, my God. We're going to be so Daredevil out, it's not even funny. So this month, starting next week, right?
I think so, yeah.
We're starting.
Which reminds me, I got to get our first guest, because I didn't get a chance to talk to him yet.
All right, better get our first guest. We are going to kind of do an overview of each season of Daredevil leading up to the debut of Born Again on Disney Plus, which we will cover. How many? All 18? Yeah. Is that correct? All 18 episodes of this television show. And I say that and I feel it's a little daunting, but I think as we go week to week, I'm gonna be like, I gotta see next week's episode. I can't wait to talk about it with Rich and whoever our guest is, one of which will be John Pollock, who doesn't really come on to MCU later, right? It's not his specialty. He can't talk about, like, you know, the fucking demographics or the fucking, you know, 0.268 fucking Nielsen rating, whatever the fuck, with his good friend, Brand Thurston. My good friend, too. My good friend up there in Buffalo, Brand Thurston. Brother, when you come on one of these shows, we should get Brand Thurston. Come on. MC later.
I'm down.
You know, I'm sure he can, you know, relay a ton of interesting financial information that, well, maybe not you, but I would find completely boring unless it's spoken by him. Anyways, but you know what? This is going to be great. This is our flagship series this year. I think it's Disney's flagship series this year, because it's 18 fucking episodes long. And I'm so looking forward to it, because you know what? You know what, Rich? Have I said this before? You know what I think we might get a cameo? Tom Holland as Peter Parker. Not as Spider-Man, but as... And if he's sharing screen with both Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio... And my hope, fucking Frank Castle, the fucking Punisher, give me what I want.
It's like, come on, Red.
And then he's going to say to Peter, come on, Red and Blue.
And speaking of Red and Blue, in 2025, we're going to be exploring Ironheart. How do you feel about her, especially in light of what we saw in What If? And Riri's kind of reintroduction to the MCU.
Well... I'll be honest, not that excited about it. We'll see. I'll watch it, and maybe it'll be like Skeleton Crew for me. Like, I'll finish it, but I'll never watch it again.
Yeah, and that's fair. I'm looking forward, because I want to see how she ties into Armor Wars. What happens there? As we saw in What If, there's some opportunities. They definitely want to maintain the relationship, and so again, just keep trying to hit base hits. This doesn't have to be $100 million an episode show. Just make sure it looks good. Make sure she looks professional. You do right by her respectfully, and then kind of go from there. What about Eyes of Wakanda?
I am very, very excited about Eyes Wakanda because it's exploring the lore of Wakanda, which I think is one of the most fascinating aspects of, you know, the MCU, is like kind of the mythology surrounding not just the Black Panther, but the country itself, and how vibranium has given us the most preeminent Afrofuturism concept on screen that we've ever seen. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think you've ever seen Afrofuturism displayed so wonderfully as Wakanda is on in the Black Panther films. And I shit, you know, like I, and as a comic fan, like I've always thought, well, what's really interesting about Black Panther as a concept is a lot of it has to do with the fact that he's from Wakanda and that he's the protector of Wakanda. But what is it just about the Black Panther and the Panther tribe? No, there's other tribes in Wakanda and other kind of, you know, legends and to speak. And this show is reportedly going to explore that. We're going to look at the Hatu Sorase, which is a concept created, I think, in the Christopher Priest run of Black Panther. And that's the introduction of White Wolf, which is like the white guy that's adopted by T'Chaka in the comics. And like he grows up kind of being resentful brother to T'Challa, because like, why can't I be the Black Panther? Well, I mean, because you're white. And, you know, if it's not going to be a black guy being Black Panther, then it should be a Korean. Yeah, I said it. Just kidding. Or am I? Oh, if you really want to know if I'm kidding or not, you're going to have to pay up the Post Wrestling Cafe. There you go. But we're gonna explore the Hatu Sarase here. I think White Wolf as well. Not necessarily the Bucky version, right? Like he's White Wolf in the MCU movies. Like that's his nickname for him. And that's kind of a title. Maybe we'll see the origin of that title. And yeah. But hey, you know,
what's
the name of White? Is it the White Wolf? Yeah, White Wolf.
Yeah.
Maybe White Wolf should become Bronze Wolf and played by a prominent Korean actor from, you know, the wonderful world of Korean cinema. Huh? What do you think about that, Rich?
I think that's pretty sweet. And I also think you're crazy, so, you know.
But hey, that's crazy is what you get when you subscribe to the Post Wrestling Cafe and you get MCU later in your RSS feeds, motherfuckers.
All right. I don't think you want to like MF our customers, but you know what? Hey,
there's no customers right now. Potential customers.
I get it. Right. I get it.
They love it. They're loving it. These freeloaders.
And as freeloaders, and before I jump to our last thing we're going to talk about for the 2025, I'm going to give my recommendation alongside what WH was just talking about, the Black Panther Volume 4 by Christopher Priest, which covers a great story with the White Wolf and Kevin Casper Cole.
Oh, yeah. Casper Cole. The crew as well. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. And hopefully for those of you watching on YouTube, you can see the image there and you can see the complete collection volume 4. I would suggest getting it anywhere you could locally. I'm a big fan of going to our locals. In fact, one of our guests will be one of my local comic book shop owners, and I'm looking forward to having her back. She was a great super rookie last time we did Agatha, and I think there's been some great reaction to Julie. And so looking forward to having her back. And hopefully she'll be inoculated, because we're going to talk zombies at the end of the year, WH.
Hmm. Yeah. Maybe even less than Ironheart. I'm not looking forward to this because I hate zombies as a concept in film, comics, anything. I just don't get it. And I'm not a fan of the comics. The only time I ever liked this concept was in Ultimate Fantastic Four, where Ultimate Doctor Doom was like, zombies, I'm not scared of you fuckers. And he just unleashes a torrent of maggots on them. And I'm like, perfect. That's all you need. You just need to get a bunch of maggots to start eating the dead flesh of these zombies, and they're kaput.
I mean, that is, of course, that's like, that's what Doom does. He kind of figures out the easiest way to handle things. So why wouldn't he? You know, like, that's just
smart,
you know,
man. He's a very smart man, Victor. My man, Victor.
V Sauce. So let me just give this. And for those of you who would like to see what happens when Victor Von Doom and a bunch of zombies have a little tete-a-tete, there you go.
Oh yeah, no, that's not even from Ultimate Fantastic Four. But yeah, Doom don't play. He fucked these guys up, no problem. Look, he's blowing off giant man zombie's head off. Oh yeah.
See, so that's what we do. That's what we bring to the table. And so that's a little taste. And obviously, one of the things that's always a key part of MCU Later is the forum, that postwrestling.com, where, of course, when you're a Patreon member, when you're a patron here, when you're join our post cafe, you get to provide your feedback, not only to our shows, but anything really in the post world. WH, before we get out of here, anything else you'd like to plug or anything you'd want them to be aware of? Are you going to be partaking in the Wrestle Kingdom, Wrestle Dynasty, two-piece?
Not live or right after the show, because, you know, I'm kind of busy, like, personal what? Life.
You're
work.
Not going to be up and having it, your eyelids glued
okay,
together?
Okay, I've told you my nicknames for these shows, right?
I think so, but I can't remember right now.
Okay, so Wrestle Kingdom is Wrestle Clowndom.
Oh.
Okay. And Wrestle Dysentery. Okay. That's what I think about these shows. That's what I think about these cards generally on paper. When you have my man, Zack Sabre Jr., wrestling two fucking clowns, two dorks, I don't get it. Why can't one of them be Will Ospreay? Why can't one of them be fucking Yoda Tsuji?
Huh? What about Ricochet? You don't like Ricochet?
Ricochet can like stab himself in the head with scissors for all I care.
Dang.
You know what I mean? Like, is he going to listen? All I want to know is he going to join the Hurt Business?
No,
I hope not.
They hurt people. He doesn't hurt people.
You know what? This show, MCU Later, is the post wrestling's version of the Hurt Business, of the Hurt Syndicate.
There it is. And so, folks, that's what you get. You've just now had 60 minutes in your ear holes of MCU Later. We thank you. We invite you to join for as little as a cup of coffee.
Oh, my God.
You're in here. You're in the front door.
And we're not even talking Starbucks overpriced coffee.
No, we're talking about Tim Hortons.
That's right. Like, Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, you know, second cup of the day.
Listen, Dunkin' Donuts, if you want to sponsor MCU Later and park a busload of money to my house or to Rich Fan's house, we welcome it. We will talk about your coffee and your donuts on air.
Yeah, we'll do it.
In the part that we say, you'll get your own segment. This segment is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Like, see, I already got the stinger ready for you, bros.
Now, you don't want to, like, let's be fair, though, because you don't want to get rid of our first love, which is, of course, a crisp, cold, sugar-free Canada Dry.
I don't have one handy right now.
It's okay. Until they pay up,
that's
we
right.
can't really just we, be expecting we, to we would sling them.
It would be number one priority. Coca-Cola, particularly their brand of Canada Dry, come on. Sponsor MCU Later. Listen, I know my good friends John Pollock and Wei Tang have scruples, but not when it comes to soda pop money.
Right. Get that money. And what we're going to do is get out of your ear holes. So thank you, as always.
Yes.
We encourage you to come on our journeys. Definitely check out, if once you become a patron, if you aren't already, the forum, because that's usually where I post the reviews in advance, so that way you can have your thoughts heard. And if you have any suggestions, you can always throw them in there as well. Just make sure you at me in there, Rich Fan. You'll see me pop up and go from there. And so, as always, WH.
Listen, if they're intrigued about, hey, this 2024 review reviews sound pretty interesting, especially maybe this MCU Hater stuff, can I listen to that if I sign up? Well, guess what? Yes, you can. It's called the archives. Everything since the creation of Post Wrestling is archived for you, my friends. For you, my freeloading friends, who I hope soon become my paying friends. Please join up. Postwrestling.com, patreon.com/postwrestling, the cafe. You won't regret it. But until such time, until you pay up, for now, we'll MCU later.
This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, it's your home for XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown as we go live for our patrons on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with XL editions containing the news of the day, questions, and feedback. And throughout the month of January, you get a free month when you sign up for a full year. Postwrestlingcafe.com.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.